This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Alright everyone, welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday, November 5th at the time that we are recording this, and Damon, boy, do we have a show to review today. We're going to be talking all about Power Struggle in Osaka, which took place earlier this morning, and I don't think I am out of line by saying that with this show, the very landscape of New Japan Pro Wrestling has changed.
Yeah, you wouldn't say. I mean, that Marty Scurll winning that IWGP Junior title, that changed fucking everything.
Listen, that was unexpected. That was unexpected.
Was not going to lie. Yeah, how about it, right, kids? Well, first of all, I think we should be gloating a little bit, right? I think we got to pat ourselves on the fucking back a little bit, right?
I think so. I think so, yeah. Because I was saying to you off the air, as far as I know, we were the only pro wrestling related multimedia, whether it be audio, print, whatever. We were the only ones that kind of hinted at this big Chris Jericho Kenny Omega match.
Yeah, I mean, look, not for nothing, that Fumi was right on point. And even I was like, Fumi, are you fucking serious? And he's like, you know, and we saw it. Right, we saw it, and I gotta let you know how I got. Were you spoiler free coming into this?
Here's the deal. So I got a text message, and
from who?
It was a text message from my brother.
Oh,
you were thinking God. It was from like Brian Mackey or somebody, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. Because guess what? I got mine at 6 o'clock in the fucking morning, right? And he's like, oh, can I read the fucking text to you? I'm actually quite livid about it.
Go ahead, and then I'll tell you my story. It's not as bad as yours, probably.
Yeah, I mean, so 6 o'clock in the morning, you up? No, I'm not. I'm asleep. But because I'm going to watch the fucking show at the Eagles game. I had to cover the Eagles today, right? So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to stay off the fucking phone, stay off the internet, all that horse shit. I'll watch the game in the press box, or watch the show in the press box. Away we go, right? I got my whole fucking morning sorted out, right? I'm like, you know, so I'm trying to be a nice guy, friend. I got a new role. I ain't accepting any texts from guys anymore. No more. I do a 2-hour podcast. That's my take on wrestling. I was like, no, I just got up. I got to get in the shower and I got to go to the Eagles. What's up? Right. That's it. What's up?
Right.
This is what this guy puts back. Where do I start? Omega versus Jericho at Wrestle Kingdom. I'm like, well, please don't tell me anything more because I didn't see the fucking show yet.
I love how people assume that we just watch every single show live.
I literally said I haven't. I just woke up. I'm getting in the shower. Of course I didn't see it. Oh, I was like, well, thanks, man. I mean, now I got to, like, I have to shove my phone in a toilet with big shows because, you know, oh, I was out of my mind. Out of my mind. So now he's blocked.
Wow. Mackie getting the big block.
Blocked.
From Damon.
That's right.
He's on the list.
Oh, speaking of the list, Colin, how'd you find out?
Well, listen, okay, so I got a text earlier this afternoon, actually. I still hadn't gotten done with the bulk of the show, and it was a text message from my brother with a picture, a poster, and it was a poster of Jericho and Omega. It said Jericho versus Omega, Wrestle Kingdom 12, but this could have easily been a fan-made Photoshop poster. Like, that's what it looked like to me. So I was like, oh, okay, somebody made this as a joke on Twitter or something. Ha ha ha, that's not going to happen. But lo and behold, the lights go out, the countdown starts, and there's Chris Jericho on the screen in Osaka challenging Kenny Omega at Wrestle Kingdom.
On November in 2017.
Yeah, on November, was it today? November 5th, 2017, Chris Jericho, who was in the second Super J Cup, who was on Monday Nitro, one of the biggest stars of the late 90s, early 2000s in WWE. Here he is.
Former Smoky Mountain Tag Team Champion.
Right, with Lance Storm, right?
Correct.
Here he is calling out Kenny Omega, one of the best pro wrestlers in the universe, challenging him in a New Japan ring. Damon, this year has just been too weird.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking just about pro wrestling. Just life has been very strange. Just the fabric of everything is, it's almost like we're in a David Lynch film or something. Like nothing, everything's so surreal.
Remember last week when our floor was Tanahashi Omega?
Yeah, that was our worst case scenario.
Yeah. Well, all right, let's get into it then.
Let's get into it.
How you feeling? How you feeling with this? You're a Jericho guy.
Listen, there is a built-in bias with me because I'm a huge Jericho guy, not only in pro wrestling, but outside of pro wrestling. I always liked him as a personality. He had he used to have a radio show back on XM radio. And I'm talking like this was before the Sirius merger. And I used to register every weekend, a free trial for XM radio. I must've had like 1,000 email accounts just so I can listen to Jericho's show because, you know, he would play my kind of music and, I love all of his books. I'm just a huge fan of the guy in general. I got the pleasure of meeting him years back in Orlando at a book signing. I remember I had a Beatles shirt on, and it just happened to be George Harrison's birthday. And he was like, oh, hey, it's George's birthday. How about that? You know, and we exchanged pleasantries. And I'm a big Chris Jericho fan in and out of the ring. So, again, built-in bias for me. I don't know how to feel about this. We were talking a little off the air how this is probably the biggest match in modern New Japan history. I mean, this is an important match.
Right. Not necessarily from an in-ring perspective, right?
No.
Right. We're not going to lose our minds. We're not going to walk out of the dome, you know, with our head exploding with the match that we saw. At least I don't think.
No, this is not going to be Okada Omega, okay?
Right. No, I know that. When this was first announced, I'm thinking back to some of the biggest North Americans to cross the ocean, headline a show of this caliber, right? So, you know, I think back of like Hogan and Muda. Right.
Right.
And like the Steiners or Flair or whatever. And even those shows, while they were at the height of, you know, pro wrestling's popularity in Japan, it feels like, and they had the capabilities of selling out Fukuoka domes and Tokyo domes. People couldn't watch it here. You know, you had to wait 6 months to get the fucking videotape from, you know, a third generation copy.
Back in the old days.
Back in the olden times, right? When you got your porn out of a magazine, right?
And you had to crank your car
right.
In the winter.
Right. So I never did that. Who did that?
I think that was like in the 1920s.
All right. And the stock market crash, and it was just terrible time.
Right.
Oh, we had to stand in line for soup. You know, you couldn't see it live. And I just think this is all the planets are aligned. Right, the promotion from a North American perspective, it's never been hotter. From a Japanese perspective, it's warming up tremendously. It's you know, the healthiest it's been in decades.
And I think that's pro wrestling in general in Japan.
Yeah, I mean,
things are heating up a lot.
Everything's heating up. Everything's bubbling up. And again, I'm talking about over 40 at the Dome, right? That was my prediction before this match was even came to light. So, you know, from a North American audience, and I looked online, I looked on the Reddit, I looked on a little bit here and there, and people are losing their fucking minds, Colin.
Place I've checked is Twitter. I haven't been on Reddit. I haven't checked anywhere else. I've just seen the tweets that we've gotten on Twitter. Mostly positive from what I've seen. Mostly positive.
Okay. And I'm in the positive camp. Music Damon will make an appearance shortly. He's warming up in the back, right? He's in the bullpen, stretching a little bit. He's going to make an appearance in a moment. So bear with me, kids. But it's a positive thing. You have to do this match if you have the opportunity to do this match, right? Chris Jericho is a name that casual wrestling fans know. This is bigger than Jim Ross doing the play-by-play.
Oh, much bigger.
Right. This is a big-time name in your biggest event of the year with arguably the best wrestler in the world and in North America, probably the hottest star right now, right?
Correct.
He is the buzz. He is what people are talking about.
He's the latest sensation that's sweeping the nation.
That's right. So, I mean, minus, you know, listen, your Cena's and all, you know, we know where we're at here. I know I'm maybe exaggerating.
That's not wrestling.
I understand, but listen, you know what I'm trying to say. So, If you have the opportunity to do the match, you do the fucking match, right? So I'm not saying you don't do the match. Here's my concern. Music Damon's coming here.
Oh, boy.
Coming in.
Brace yourselves.
This, I don't know how I feel about a 50-something-year-old guy in the ring with Kenny Omega. I think this...
50-something?
Is he 50-something? How old is he?
I think he's like 44.
Is he 44? Maybe. I'm sorry.
I think he's younger than you. Or at least as old. No, let me see.
I'm not getting in the fucking ring. Let's put that
okay,
way.
Chris
sure.
Jericho is 46 years old, so
all
I was
right,
close.
All right. Well, he's older than I am. He's older than I am.
I think you look older than he does, though, for what it's worth.
No. I mean, listen, he looks fantastic. You know, facelift and all. Listen, I watch New Japan Pro Wrestling for what reason, Colin? I watch it for the match quality, right?
For the best pro wrestling in the world.
Correct. Now, that can take many different shapes, right? And many people will argue of what that constitutes. For me, that means in-ring, bell-to-bell, I want to see a great match. Okay? Now, again, some people's great match might be over here. So another person's might be over there. I'm going to say something that I don't think maybe people would agree with. I don't think it's that outlandish, but let's go with it anyway.
Okay.
I think the possibility for me, to get what I want out of pro wrestling, right? The opportunity is there with an Okada, an Ibushi, and even our worst case scenario of a Hiroshi Tanahashi. I think I would hedge my bets and place them on those three heads of having a match that Damon would love as opposed to Chris Jericho.
Or how about an Ishii?
I think, sure.
A Tetsuya Naito.
Well, yeah. I mean, but he's a little busy right now looking for an IWGP Heavyweight Championship match. But yeah, you get my point.
Yeah, I'm just talking about wrestlers in general that are in New Japan.
Right. Now, again, we're flipping coins back and forth. So you have that, right? So I don't know if Jericho can deliver in that fashion, right? I don't know. I'll be truthful. I mean, I know he had a nice little program with Kevin Owens, right?
Yes, I think I saw them wrestle, actually.
Okay. I mean,
think that was at WrestleMania.
Really?
I don't even remember.
I'm going to be truthful. I haven't really watched a ton of WWE at all. So
neither have I.
So I'm being brutally honest here. I'm just going by what I remember and read and people's opinions. I can't formulate my own opinion on that. So
if Gorilla Monsoon is not on commentary, I'm not watching it.
You're out. Lord Alfred Hayes, you're out, right?
Right. Okay. I'm out.
All right.
I need Jesse the Body.
promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Yes. That's my WWE.
I mean, people might need to help me out with this, but in the past 3 years, give me 3 years, give me a great Chris Jericho match. And listen, people, you know, I'm deferring to the audience here to help me with give me great ones, because I don't know if there are. But I haven't really heard much about it. So my point being is this. From an in-ring perspective, I think this is a letdown. I do.
I'll agree with you there.
Right, and I don't think anybody could argue that fact. I really don't.
It's not going to be Omega Ibushi. It's not going to be Omega Okada. It's not even going to be Omega Tanahashi.
No, it's not.
But
and that's okay. Go ahead.
Let me say this: Chris Jericho is a very smart guy. I mean,
yes.
he worked people in 2017 when that's almost an impossibility. So he's a very bright guy, very intelligent guy. He yeah. knows damn well that he can't go into the Tokyo Dome, the biggest show of the year in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and wrestle WWE style. He knows that, especially on a stage like this against Kenny Omega in what you probably assume is going to be the semi-main event, right?
Oh, it's the semi-main event.
He knows damn well he cannot wrestle the same way that he would on Raw or on some pay-per-view.
Okay, then I have to have my doubts on this. That's got to be a fair question in my mind, right? I don't think I'm out of line. I don't think I'm being negative Damon. I don't think I'm being fucking old guy, get off my fucking grass. That's got to be a concern, right?
Well, right. I mean, we've been talking about all the factors here. The guy's 46 years old. He's been around the block. He hasn't, beyond...
Not put in this position. He hasn't been put in this position in a long fucking time.
No. Again, I'm trying to scour my brain for really good Chris Jericho matches. I mean, I'm sure he had plenty of good ones with CM Punk. I know that they were in the semi-main event at a WrestleMania years back.
A long time ago. Yeah.
Exactly. The bulk of great Chris Jericho matches come from the 90s and the 2000s. From 2010 on, I honestly cannot name a bunch of great Jericho matches that happened from 2010 on.
Now, listen, is he a chameleon in that he is able to reinvent himself often? Every time he comes back, he seems like he has a different spin on who he is and his character. Absolutely. Absolutely.
He's like Madonna.
He's David Bowie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a compliment, by the way. I fucking love David Bowie. So there's that. Okay, but here's the other side of the coin. Here's Music Damon elbowing his way in. Colin, I travel fucking 10,000 miles every year, so I don't see Chris Jericho.
Hey, right? Listen, the card, you bought your tickets. You knew what you were getting into. I say, let him crash.
Great fucking movie. Oh, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
I know what you're saying. And that's why I asked you before we got on air. I said, Damon, you still excited for the Tokyo Dome? That's a sexy looking card we got there.
I don't know how I could possibly say this in 2017, but to me this feels like such a fucking transitional show.
It really is. Like I was thinking the entire time. Remember when we recorded our review of King of Pro Wrestling last month?
Yeah. Yes,
and you
I do.
Said how it felt to you like this is no longer a Japanese promotion.
No, yeah. Yep.
I really felt that with this show.
Yeah,
more so than King of Pro Wrestling.
And this Tokyo Dome is going to feel a lot that way. Look at that lineup. I mean, we'll go over it, soup to nuts, what's been announced, but
absolutely.
This feels. Look at the people that are on this show that are in big spots, big fucking spots. That a year ago, they wouldn't even be on matches before intermission, you would think. Big fucking spots for people.
Right.
Big transition year in a year where, you know, we're talking about U.S. dominance. Dominance, but, you know, kind of elbowing our way into the market, right?
Successfully, I might add.
Absolutely. This is a big roll of the dice for New Japan.
I'll even go so far as to say, and I know that there's a lot of people who are probably going to disagree with the statement right here, but the number two pro wrestling promotion in North America isn't Ring of Honor. It's New Japan.
Yeah.
They're the number two pro wrestling promotion in North America and the world.
We do a show.
We do a show.
So we're a little biased, but I mean, look, this is a match that again, you have to do the match given the opportunity, and they are. You got to give them credit for it. You got to give them credit. This match is buzzworthy. This match has people chattering.
Damon, I Googled Chris Jericho. One of the first articles was from CBS Sports.
Yeah. CBS Sports.
Yeah, this is getting mainstream attention. New Japan Pro Wrestling on CBS Sports. Think about that.
Give me the ceiling for this match.
Are we talking stars here?
We're talking stars.
Huh. My first natural instinct is to say 4.
Yeah.
But again,
it's Kenny Omega. If anybody's going to do work miracles, fucking Kenny Omega.
Do you remember that match from WrestleMania 24 that Shawn Michaels had with Ric Flair?
Yes.
That was a damn good match, right?
Yep.
It was a damn good match.
Yep.
And that was because of Shawn Michaels, of course.
And Flair being the smart guy that he is.
Yeah, right? Of course. Well, I don't mean to discredit Flair. But
no,
I mean,
you did a little bit, but that's all right.
At that stage in the game, though, you know what I'm saying.
You did a little bit. Big disrespected him.
Yeah.
I don't know if you hear, Colin. Ric Flair doesn't sign shoes anymore. I've been away for a little bit.
I apologize. I guess what I'm trying to say is, Omega is going to be the guy that elevates this match from, you know, 3 stars up. He's going to be the guy that takes it to another level. But don't forget what I said. Jericho is not stupid. He knows he cannot wrestle a WWE style on this stage. He knows that. I know he knows that.
Right. And here's the other thing too. And I agree with your point 100%, by the way. At the end of the day, this is a very, very good thing for New Japan when it comes to eyeballs.
Yes.
Again, if it's me being selfish and traveling 10,000 miles, I don't want to see a match with a strong narrative. I don't care. I'm going to see a good match. That's why I'm there. I think it could be more than 4, right?
I think it could be great. I really do think that it has the potential to be great, especially if Jericho wrestles like kind of a rougher style. You know what I mean? Maybe slaps Omega around a little bit, really lays in some shots.
Yeah, this is really, the guy hasn't really worked this style in a long fucking time.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a long time. Mid-90s.
This is not 1997 Chris Jericho. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt, Colin, but there's so much, you know, we're sitting here for 20 minutes talking about this, and, you know, we're listing the laundry list, and we're trying to be as objective as possible. A lot of things that are swinging the miss on this.
I'll be honest with you, and I told you this off air, I'm a little more bummed out about Tanahashi defending against Jay White. Like, no disrespect to Jay White, who is a great wrestler and I think has the potential to be one of the best in the world someday. For him to come in dressed in his little Halloween outfit.
You know, see, I like that look, Colin.
With that
That's
baby
a good
face.
Look.
He looks so unintimidating.
He does look young, but he can't do nothing about that. What are you gonna do?
Right, so don't dress him up like that.
I think the look, dude, I'm gonna be honest with you, I think the look is sharp. That's a fucking good look he's got.
You love that. I just think he looks like he's dressing up for Halloween and ready to go trick-or-treating.
No,
that's the way it looks like to me.
He looks like a young, progressive, modern guy. That's ready. I like it. The fucking look's good.
You just love leather.
You know what?
Anything with leather, you're in.
I'm like Pinky Tuscadero.
Yeah, exactly. Again, with the Happy Days.
They made a Happy Days reference on the fucking show.
Did they?
Did you hear that? Yes.
What did they say?
About Yano.
Oh, see, I wasn't paying attention during that match because it was so god-awful. But
that was the shits.
It was the worst match I ever saw in my life, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. Wow. The worst match you've ever saw in your life?
It was 1 star for sure. I'm probably over-exaggerating, of course, just because I was so... I'll say this. If that match was taken off of this card, this would have been a show of the year. This would have been a show of the year candidate. And I think in some regards it still is, but boy, this show could have been tightened up so much by taking off that useless, miserable match.
It was a shit match, I gotta be honest.
You want to give Suzuki some time off? Then give him some time off. Have him not wrestle at all instead of putting him in this demeaning position that insults all of our intelligence.
Wow. Wee. Colin. With the venom. All right, look. Getting back to Jay White, if we could, please. Jay White versus Hiroshi Tanahashi, Colin, at the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah.
What do you think David Finley's thinking?
I know. There's David Finley, God bless him, on the prelim, you know, but before the opening match, in the dark match against Kitamura, having a fine little 5-minute match, and in strolls his buddy Jay White from Excursion, yeah, and immediately challenging the biggest star in New Japan Pro Wrestling to a title match at the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah. He's got to be like, what in the fuck? Right? Wow. Look. Yeah.
Jay White pulled a Takahashi here.
It's unbelievable how they do that. I mean, I know they had the video vignettes. Vignette is the word I'm looking for?
Vignette
for a couple weeks. The debut was flat as a fucking pancake, right? I think everybody was a little high off the Jericho stuff, and I think,
did you hear the Y2J chants?
No. When they announced it, yeah, I did hear that, like when in the crowd.
Yeah, in the crowd.
Yeah, I did hear that. I will say this, though, and I did read a little bit online about how lots of people thought it was a bit anticlimactic, right? A bit flat.
Jay White, we're talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Switchblade.
And Osaka was not having it.
I wasn't having it.
Okay, let's rewind the clock a little bit. This gentleman by the name of AJ Styles, when he debuted, it was flat.
It was.
You could hear crickets.
The Japanese audience was not familiar with AJ Styles, but like, look where he was for the past decade or so before he came to New Japan.
Right. He was in the black hole of TNA.
He was in a promotion that nobody watched.
Right. Well, and again, people know Jay White. They do, but the last time they saw him, you know, He's in a Boston Crab with fucking David Finley.
You're beating David Finley.
Well, right. Delivering a Boston Crab.
Always.
Yeah. Every fucking match. So that's the last impression they got. That took a little bit for people to kind of be like, okay, I got to take Jay White seriously. In this match here with Hiroshi Tanahashi for the Intercontinental title at the Dome, you know, people are going to scratch their heads a little bit, and that's what happened. It felt flat to me.
And here's the thing: I have no doubt in my mind that it's going to be a great match because Jay White's a great wrestler. Tanahashi obviously is still a phenomenal pro wrestler, so yeah, I'm sure it'll be a great match. But again, the flat reaction from the fans, the whole thing, again, the theme of this entire show was like surreal. That's the word I would use to describe it. Just surreal.
Yeah, that's a good adjective because I liked everything. You know what I mean? I liked everything.
So did I.
But everything was it. You know, and here's the thing too, and especially in this day and age, we all knew Jay White was going to be Sling Blade.
Switchblade. That's one of Tanahashi's maneuvers, but go ahead.
Right. Well, he's being both, right? That's his pen name, I believe. He does a lot of poetry.
Slingblade.
Did I say Slingblade?
By Slingblade.
Oh, am I going to get fucking buried for that one? stink. Switchblade. All right, well, let's admit Switchblade stinks. And both of them stink. Anyway, you knew who it was. You knew what was going to happen. You knew you didn't see him the whole entire fucking show. You knew eventually he was coming out. And trust me, there was a point where I was like, all right, listen, we're going to hear Kevin Kelly say, all right, listen to the Purecast, and they're going to go off the air, which never happened, by the way. I listened to the end, Kevin Kelly.
So did I.
Yeah. Big show. You got to put us over a little bit, all right? Help us out. And you're waiting for it to happen, and then finally it happened. So, again, you knew it was going to be Jay White, so there wasn't a surprise element. But, again, it was – I had no idea that they were looking at the fucking Dome against Tanahashi for his debut.
No, that would not have been my prediction at all. I mean, you could still have him debut at the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like how Cody made his New Japan debut at the Tokyo Dome, right?
Right.
In a mid-card match against Juice.
Yeah.
Put Jay White against Juice.
I
don't want to see Juice lose, so.
Right, and you know we would have to. But I'm
put him
sure
against Finley.
Right. But you would think that's a big spot for Jay White. Colin, that's the fucking Tokyo Dome. It's the biggest show of the fucking year.
Well, it speaks volumes about what Ghetto and company must
yes.
think of him. I'll tell you that much.
And it does speak volumes that they have the balls to do it. That's a ballsy fucking move.
This is a ballsy show that you're going to. This is almost a bit of a gamble.
Right. A transition, right? Like, it feels like there's, like, a transition occurring. We go up and down this card and look at the names that are in prominent positions. It's fucking crazy. It's, you know, again, if we rewound the clock to last year, I wouldn't expect any of this. This is weird. It's a weird fucking time. Odd. And again, you got to give them credit because they're going with fresh matchups. You know, people bitch and moan about, they always put the same fucking guys on top. Ah,
I think that Ghetto took DMT before he booked this really? Dome card. That's what I think happened, and this is what he came up with.
Wow. I mean, I wonder if the Jericho thing was I don't want to say a late minute thing, and that just threw a monkey wrench and everything, and so they just had to come up with something quick to kind of make everything fit.
And you got to think that the office in Stamford is none too happy about this.
Well, Jesus Christ. I mean, that's all you heard from Kevin Kelly and
Don Callis. Don.
Yeah, jeez.
Because I heard that Jericho, you know, this cruise that he has coming up.
Right.
He tried to get NXT on it at first.
Is that right?
But they weren't having it.
Well, listen, they're very protective of their brand.
They sure are.
They're like, we're not a buffet, not for the NXT guys. A Calypso band? Fuck no. Yeah.
So what did he do? He went and he talked to Ring of Honor.
Yep.
And I assume that that's how this whole relationship started. And of course, Jericho, it's widely known that he spent time with Ghetto in Mexico, right? And he's had Ghetto on his podcast, and you know, the two have remained somewhat close over the years.
Look, the only question I have is you know, can Chris Jericho keep a main event Tokyo Dome pace? That's my only concern. That's truth be told, that's my only concern.
Oh, my other concern is he going to come out to a Halloween song from the Walls of Jericho album?
Oh.
That's one of my biggest concerns.
Well, listen, I think he can't come out to the conchonk, conchonk. He can't do that.
I don't
right?
want him to.
No, I don't think that that's his, you know, he has any rights to the song to use.
How hilarious would it be if he came out to that Nitro theme that was like I forget what that was, a parody of or a ripoff of.
I don't know. Comes out with Ralphus.
Yeah, right. Security.
Yeah, right.
Jericho personal security. Hello, Cleveland.
That would fucking roll.
Hello, Tokyo.
Oh, what a world we live in, Colin. What a fucking world we live in.
I'm almost speechless. Like, everything is just so weird on planet Earth right now. And
and even, you know, it's like 1 week. Last week we were talking about, okay, so, and not for nothing, you know, not to get on the harp back onto our first point. Fucking, you know, we were the only ones that really kind of discussed this Jericho shit. And again, I didn't know if he was going to be Switchblade. I didn't know if it was, you know,
he was Switchblade. I thought that was Switchblade.
It. Right. That was going to be it. Right.
Yeah. I kind of forgot about, Jay White.
Right. I'll tell you. And I will say this too. I did listen to KK and Don Callis. They did a good job putting that over, man.
They did a great job.
They were losing their fucking shit. And again, along with the wrestling world. So that's what we got to look forward to on January 4th. Chris Jericho and Kenny Omega. Who would have thunk it? Who would have thunk it? All right, Colin, what do you say we do a show on this show? And give our thoughts. We got lots of news. We got a lot to cover.
Sounds like a plan to me, Damon. We're about 40 minutes in now with this crazy conversation that I didn't think that we would be having in my wildest dreams. So let's talk about this Power Struggle card from the bottom to the top. Of course, Power Struggle took place in Osaka with a crowd
sold out.
5,480, according to PuroWrestlingSpirit.net. And the evening started out with a prelim match, dark match, whatever you want to call it. David Finlay taking on Kitamura. I know you're laughing.
I feel so bad for him.
I know.
He's got to be just like watching all his friends just like skyrocket past him, and he's like, what?
It is time for him to head to Mexico, I think.
Please.
Now's the time.
Yeah, I agree. It's Battle Royal. Get thrown over the top rope. Don't even just have your bags packed in the back and just go right to Narita.
Yep.
Just right to fucking Mexico City. Yeah, it's a shame. They were putting over the Kitamura too.
Hey, listen, I've said it before, I'll say it again. If I was going to design a New Japan pro wrestler from the ground up, he'd look like Kitamura.
Well, he's a beast.
He's something special. He's a monster. He's going to be a big, big star someday. But right now, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask, did you think there was a shot? They kept playing up that injury to Finlay, that shoulder. And was there ever a point where you thought, are they going to fucking put this young lion over? Because there were a couple times where I was thinking the way they were calling the match. And
you know, it's kind of funny because I had somebody reach out on Twitter, I think. I think it was after we did our Power Struggle preview show. And they said, how would you feel about Finlay versus Kitamura being a loser goes on excursion match? You know, and I was thinking to myself during the match, like, maybe this Twitter user was onto something here, and Finley's gonna lose, and that's how he's gonna make his way out.
Listen, like I said, Battle Royal, get thrown over the top rope, bushwhacker your way back up the fucking ramp.
Yep, plane tickets for Mexico.
Yep, out the fucking door.
CMLL.
Yep, we're all see you in a couple months. Yep, see you in about 6 months.
Yep,
and then we'll go from there. It wasn't a bad match. You could tell David Finlay was hurting. I think Kevin Kelly made mention, if you notice his shoulder, but you can't really tell with his skin tone, because his skin tone literally matched that of the bandages. You had no idea his shoulder was taped up because he's so pale. Yeah, he was hurting, but I think they did all right, right?
Yeah, he won with a cutter. Fine, 5 minutes. Dark match. I thought Kitamura looked great. Always look forward to seeing him. Yeah, it was fine.
I'm sure buys went up at that point. Buys went up. Subscription numbers went up after that match. Probably not, but all right. What else we got? Opening the show.
Opening the show was Dragon Lee and Teton taking on the Young Bucks in
this is good.
A short match, but a really good, you know, Young Bucks match. Always a pleasure to see Dragon Lee and Teton together teaming in a New Japan ring. The Bucks won with a new finisher. It's a cross between a sharpshooter and a crossface that they call the cease and desist.
They're always topical, those kids. Listen, I thought this match was outstanding. This was lighting a firecracker.
And they packed a lot in for a match that's under 10 minutes. Boy, they hit a lot of moves with a Z.
Yeah, there were some Z's here. And I don't mean sleepy. You're not looking at your phone. You're not looking away. You're not looking online. You're watching the fucking show. I don't like this finish. That finisher is nonsense. I'm not gonna lie. How in the fuck can you have a again? This is pro wrestling. We could do whatever we want. I guess.
Damon, there was a bull rope match. rope match with some dude with orange hair, and another guy with a mohawk.
I understand, but
think about what we're watching here.
I understand, but again, I can appreciate a double team tag team maneuver with the best of them. But
all of the Midnight Express or Rock and Roll Express, that's what you're looking for.
Well, yeah, but you can't have a submission move be a double team move, can you?
They should have won with a double drop kick.
That would have been awesome.
That should have been the finish.
I would have fucking popped big time for that.
I do know what you mean, though. Like, it is sort of... it's almost one of those things in pro wrestling that you kind of like chuckle at the phoniness.
You just
of
gotta
it all.
That.
Yeah, because it is a phony looking move. It really is. I'm not gonna lie.
It's not even the phoniness of the move. This is not like fucking Sonata wrapping somebody up in their own arms. it's not that.
Paradise Lock.
Yeah. I get it, Kevin. It's fucking brutal, and nobody can get out of it. Right.
He calls that the rear view. Go ahead.
Does he? Okay.
No, it was an inside joke. I'm sorry.
Oh,
go ahead.
Sorry. Did I blow that one?
You blew it.
Did I whiff on that one? Sorry. You set me up and I fucking whiffed. It's a submission maneuver, Colin. There's only supposed to be one person in the fucking ring, right?
There should be a DQ, actually.
Yes.
If there's
it
two
should be a
people.
Five count at least, right?
Uh-huh. There should.
But you're counting submissions. Again. It's pro wrestling. I know it's a minor quibble.
Well, Damon, listen. The Young Bucks are moving merch.
They certainly are.
No, they're helping sell the house. They're moving a lot of merch. So I think that's why they get a little bit of leeway from the refs.
The refs kind of turning a blind eye. They're getting a little something under the table.
Okay. Exactly.
A little
exactly.
Extra something. A little extra in the envelope.
That's
right?
The narrative that we're creating. Okay.
Okay. Fair enough. Listen, it's hard to feed a family on a referee's salary. I'm sure. And every little bit helps. So, okay, if you can turn a blind eye to that, that's that. All right. But I thought the match was great. I love the Dragon Lee. We love the Titan. We'll see them soon, Colin. The leaves are changing here in North America.
I know.
The nights are getting a little crisper. And you know what that means. Winter will be here soon.
Winter
and
is
coming. And
you
know what that means. February is right around the corner. And you know what that means, Colin.
I sure do. My favorite time of the pro wrestling year, Fantastic-a-mania.
That's exactly
where
right.
Nothing that happens means absolutely anything for the rest of the year.
the little bubble, the little post-Wrestle Kingdom bubble. Oh, that is Fantastic-a-mania, your favorite. All right, good match. What do you think? Good way to start the show.
Yeah, great way to start the show. How about Matt Jackson looking like he's been hitting the weights?
Yeah, listen. Maybe he's gonna. Maybe they're getting ready for the world tag. Oh, I'm sorry. I can't even say the sentence. That's not happening.
I wish.
Right.
I wish.
All right. Good match. Good opener. Again, stars. It's a good match. I thought it was really good. I enjoyed it. It's fast paced. Good. Junior tag match. All right. Next up,
10-man tag after that, featuring the team of Juice, Liger, Tiger Mask, Kushida, and Kawato taking on Zack Sabre Jr., Kanemaru, Taichi, El Desperado, and Taka Michinoku. A fine little 5-minute 10-man match that saw Kushida get the win for his team with the hoverboard lock on Taka Michinoku. But my main thought through this whole thing was like, man, Kushida is one of the best in the world right now, in my humble opinion. Uh-huh. And he has just outgrown this junior heavyweight division so much.
You think, huh?
That was my thought throughout this entire 5 minutes. How Kushida, he needs to be doing something different at this point in his career. He's done all that he can do in the junior heavyweight division in New Japan. Well, except for compete in a four-way, but we'll get to that later.
Right. There's a checkbox that needs to be checked.
Apparently that needs to be checked off. But oh my God, Kushida is just, I hate to say the word waste, but like he's a waste in this position. It's a waste of his talents.
No, I want to go that far.
Okay.
I don't know if I would go that far. Because here's the thing, there is a lot of talent in that junior pool. I mean,
which is why Kushida doesn't need to be in there.
Okay. I can see that point. I can see that point. I wouldn't say it's a waste. There's too much talent. If anything, there's a lack of creative booking, right? There's a lack of fresh ideas, but there's so much talent in that junior division that him being in it and again being in the mix, off the fire, on the fire, I'm okay. I would like to see a new challenge for him. I think I would like to see him become a heavyweight sooner than later.
You know, it's a shame, Damon. It's really a shame that New Japan doesn't have a title where junior heavyweights could compete against heavyweights. I mean, what a concept that would be to have a title where you could do that. Almost like an open weight title, you know? An open weight title? It's a damn shame.
Never happen. That's what it stands for. Never going to happen.
Right. Never going to happen. Wow.
Never open weight. That's exactly what it means. It's the literal. It never open weight. Never open weight. Only heavyweights.
I think one of my biggest disappointments of the year in New Japan actually was Kushida not bursting out of this junior heavyweight bubble.
Yeah. I mean, listen. I see your argument.
What more could he do? Tell me. What more could he do?
Well, we're going to find out January 4th, son.
I guess we are.
Yes, we are. All right, let's get to this match, though, Colin, because once again, it's those Suzuki-Gun Juniors that are helping in these. Again, they're always second match of the show, where nonsense is acceptable, right? I can put up with the nonsense. I enjoy these matches, man. Did you ever double back and watch that Liger, that multi-man that I was talking about the other week?
I'll be honest with you, I never did.
No, that's all right. Listen, maybe I was a little bit pumping it up a little bit, but it was. What did you think of this?
I thought it was good, but
okay.
Again, I'm just thinking about Kushida the whole time. Like,
really?
Yeah. Fine, Damon. It was nothing. You know, it was the second match on the show. It was a 10-man tag, second match on the show.
I thought it was good.
It did what it needed to do. You know, Kushida needed to get a win here to come out and challenge for the junior title again, I guess.
Yeah. Zack Sabre Jr. wasn't doing much of anything, right?
I can't remember anything Zack Sabre Jr. did, actually. I remember Ken Amaru's bottle in this match more than I remember Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah. Are you okay with him? What he's up to?
He feels flat. I'm not gonna lie. He feels flat.
Right. A little lost in the mix, a little bit.
Lost in the mix. You know, went from defeating Tanahashi in a great match in the G1, challenging for the IC title, and here he is, second match on the show with a bunch of Suzuki-Gun Juniors, not doing a whole lot. So, yeah, I'm kind of disappointed about that.
Okay.
But again, huge roster, right, where you couldn't possibly you couldn't create enough titles, right, for everyone.
Right. You said it. That's exactly what we got. We have a promotion chock full of great talent that not everyone can be on top at the same time. So
they need to get their SmackDown brand up and running, you know? And maybe Kushida could be the face of that brand.
Well, listen, the general manager might have a fucking word with you come next Dome show.
The IWGP Universal title.
Yeah. I mean not for nothing, Colin. And let's be fair. We're pumping our chest a little bit about this Jericho thing. where we were the only ones that mentioned. And again, we got mentions on, Colin, you mentioned there were a few people who reminded the masses that it was us.
Yeah, yeah, lots of tweets from our listeners, you know, saying, "Hey, you guys really called that Jericho deal," and yes. And again, that wasn't like an original prediction from us. It was from our pal Fumi, and we just happened to discuss it last week and kind of entertain the possibility, which is something we've always liked to do on the PuroCast. I mean, God, you can go back to 2015. I've talked about some ridiculous matches that I said were going to happen. You know. AJ Nakamura as the G1 final, you know, I mean, I've talked about some ridiculous scenarios that never happened. And, you know, this one just happens to be happening. This is reality.
Right. Well, you know what Fumi's real name is?
What's that?
Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Ah, okay. I thought you were going to say Nostradamus.
No. Looking forward to seeing Fumi. I miss him. Come Tokyo Dome season.
Nostra
Fumi. Fumiaki. Where were we? What were we talking about, Colin?
Well, we were talking about this 10-man tag, which you seem to get a lot more out of than I did.
I enjoy them, man, and I'm again. I have to tip my cap to the Suzuki Goon because, you know, it's easy to dismiss their nonsense. And again, they drove me crazy in that fucking bull rope match. You know, I was just like, oh, this nonsense. But in the second match, got no problem with it, and I enjoyed it, and I thought it was good, and. Kushida gets the win, and away we go.
All right, six-man tag. Togi Makabe, Tenzan, and Kojima taking on Cody, Yujiro Takahashi, and Chase Owens. First of all, Don Callis, a bit more subdued on commentary this evening. They did make some references to his salacious remarks from the...
He did? He brought it? I didn't hear that. Did he
really? Yeah, there was sort of a wink and a nod to that, you know.
Okay.
Him talking about being accused of being sexist and whatnot. Right. So yeah, they did sort of acknowledge that in a humorous way, because Yujiro did come out with the girls, of course.
Right, of course. Yes. Talk about a match that I did not give one fuck about.
Way to get Cody on the show, I guess. That's really what this was. It was a way to get Cody on the show.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't horrific. It was toast, man. Toast.
Well, I mean, look who you have in the ring. No disrespect, but you've got Tenzan and Kojima and Makabe, and you know,
right? Battle Royal. You literally have the New Japan opening Battle Royal at the Dome in this match.
At least five participants in it out of six.
Yeah, they're not flying Cody over to fucking be in the Battle Royal. Do you think?
No.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't want them to fly Cody over at all,
right.
From the sounds of it, but
right.
here he is.
Here he is. Listen, what are you going to do? You know what? And not for nothing, you got to give Cody credit to a certain degree in the sense of he kind of, I don't want to say he started this kind of, for better or for worse, he did open the doors to a lot of North American people, wrestlers, should I say, who may not have thought that New Japan was a real option for them.
He was the guinea pig, sort of.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, listen, there have been... That's not to say we've never had North Americans in New Japan. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying in modern times, when you look at the economic landscape of what's available to a pro wrestler, you know, you gotta tip your cap to Cody because... You know, he has a year under his belt.
And listen, we've only been harsh on Cody because we feel, as do a lot of our listeners, that his style isn't necessarily catered towards New Japan. However, with that being said, he was one of the first guys who proved that there is life after WWE. I mean, I give him all the credit in the world for... making that decision, you know, realizing that they weren't doing dick all with him there, and he said, "Hey, I'm gonna branch out. I'm gonna go out on the independent circuit. I'm gonna work Japan." And he's, by all accounts, he's making a good living doing it.
Yeah, he seems happy too. Pretty much makes his own schedule. I would think at this point,
his own boss, true independent contractor, not like the fake independent contractors.
Yeah, like a fucking Uber driver.
Yeah. How's that going?
I haven't done it. I didn't do it all week.
Okay.
I was busy. I got so much fucking shit going down. And it was just like I never really had a chance to go out. I won't do it at night.
I'm
going to
call you tonight.
Yeah?
Yeah. You're gonna come get me.
We're just gonna
drive around.
I'm starting in Haddonfield. No, I just haven't really fucking. Not that it, I don't know. Sometimes I think I might want to do it that night, and then I go, I'm like, do I really want to fucking do this? And it's like, oh, I don't mind. I'm doing it. We'll see. Yeah, but I haven't done it this week. This coming week, I'll probably get out there and see what's out there.
Would you make of the? I didn't mean to cut you off there with the Uber conversation. But
right.
what did you make of the finish of this match? Kojima picking up the win with the big lariato on Chase Owens.
World Tag League warm up, right?
That's right.
We got to warm up Kojima. We got to warm up Tenzan because World Tag League is right around the corner, and they
How
have
about Makabe. Who's he going to be with?
I mean, maybe Tanahashi.
Makabe and Tanahashi?
Maybe.
Interesting.
It could be. I mean, not really.
You never know.
Truth be told, not really. You might stick a juice in there with him. Who knows?
Okay.
You know. Honestly, who fucking cares? I did hear of a tag team, though, that might... I don't know if it might surprise people, but they'll probably announce the tag teams tomorrow, right? Monday.
I would imagine.
Yeah, usually they do it the day after or maybe 2 days after this big show. It's Elgin and Cobb. I did hear Elgin and Cobb as the tag team for World Tag League, which is to me an interesting fucking tag team. I gotta be honest with you. I kind of dig that. I know you are very disappointed there's no Matt Riddle.
I am. I guess Matt Riddle's loss is Elgin's gain, because like you said, that is a very interesting tag team, and I'll be curious to see if that does happen. And
that's the word on the street. You know, that street. That's the word I'm hearing. You gotta figure that. And the biggest gripe of World Tag League is that you have guys that are, obviously doing stuff that aren't going to win.
your Naitos, Okadas, Tanahashi.
Right. All these people have fucking matches. They've already been announced. We know what they're doing. So they're not winning World Tag League. Depending upon where fucking Ishii and Goto wind up, right? Elgin and Cobb is a real fucking fun, interesting tag team. You know, they might be a favorite.
And think about the matches that they could have against maybe a Sanada and an Evil, an Ishii and a Goto, fingers crossed.
That'd be nice. This World Tag League might be a little bit interesting with a fresh face tag team like that. You know, the new Rock and Roll Express.
Right. The new Rockers.
The new Rockers.
Leaf Cassidy.
Yes, now we're talking. Yeah, that should be interesting if that does come to pass. That's what we heard. So we'll see what that comes out of that. And again, the winners of the World Tag League Challenge, the IWGP, Colin, that's what it's called, Tag Team Champions, KES. So we'll have it penciled in for that. Again, let's see what happens with Ishii and Goto as well. They might be a favorite as well. So we'll see what happens there.
Ralph and Chief J.
That was the joke. That was the Yano joke. I know that was 20 minutes ago, but it was during the bull rope match. He made a Ralph Malph reference. They said Yano looked like Ralph Malph.
Ah, okay.
And Donnie Most, who played Ralph Malph. And I was like, fucking Happy Days reference. They're ripping us off, man.
Shouldn't have been looking at my phone during that god-awful match.
All right, moving on.
Moving on, speaking of tag tournaments, we had the Super Junior Tag Finals here. Of course, Taguchi and ACH taking on Yo and Sho, Roppongi 3K. ACH coming into this match hurting, right? But they really made that injury part of the story, and I think that it helped the match overall. It made it more interesting in a way.
I love this match. I really did.
Very
I thought
good.
This match was great. Yeah, it did tell that story. I guess he fucked up his ribs, cartilage, you know, issues in the ribs, which makes it hard to breathe. So just the fact that he's able to make it through the match legitimately is pretty impressive. But nah, I really like this match. It was. I wouldn't say it was a different style than most junior matches, but it was a little bit more ground-based, right? There really wasn't a ton of crazy high-flying nonsense.
No, it was certainly there, but again, not as extreme as you would expect it to be. And how about Taguchi with his working boots on here?
He's had them on for a long time. When he's in these tag situations, you know, when the spotlight is on the juniors, he's there. Every fucking single time, you know, for a best of the Super Junior tag tournament, and if he's put in a marquee match, he finds his working boots. Problem is that throughout the rest of the year, it's multi-man tags and it's
you know, ass.
It's ass-based offense. It's you know, third base coach around the corner. But even here's the thing too. I'd like to Taguchi Japan. I like them. I like the green and black, if you will. I like the gimmick. So yeah, while there's nonsense throughout the year, it's stomachable. Is that a word? Stomachable.
Stomachable. I think you just invented it, but let's go with that.
All right. Hashtag stomachable. I like Taguchi. I'm a fan of the Taguchi.
Although it's not Taguchi Japan anymore, right? It's Team 69.
Is it?
Yes, that, it
that's
is.
That's what they call them. Yeah, Team 69.
Team 69. I love it.
Wow. Fucking Ronnie the limo driver.
well, David, Taguchi was the 69th IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion.
Of course it was. Why wouldn't he be?
So there you go. That's where that comes from. Not from anything else. I don't know what you're alluding to in that mind of yours. But
I just know that there's lots of meanings of that term. But yes, again, another fantastic match, another great showing by Sho and Yo, right? Who are, putting a lot of juice, a lot of excitement into the junior tag belts. And, I'm all in on that. You know, I just want to make one point rewinding a little bit.
Go ahead.
I don't know why it stuck out to me, and it just did. And this is going back all the way back to the multi-man Suzuki-Gun match. Man, I talk a lot about them. There was one spot.
You love these Suzuki-Gun juniors, I'll tell you what.
I do. I'm really a big fan. The second match I look forward to every fucking show.
You're going to book them for your next birthday. They're going to pop out of a cake.
And he's going to rip off his snap pants. That'd be great. So fucking hot.
Oh, Lord
is right. It was Quato. Doing that fucking drop kick out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that fucking spot.
And where just that just dive, like, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. When, Juice was like, wake up, motherfucker. Boom. Off the rope.
That.
Big dive. Yeah. Awesome work. Okay. Yeah, all right.
Wato's crazy talented.
Fucking love him. He's my favorite young lion. He's my favorite young lion in years. I really dig him, man. I think he's going to be, you know, how you kind of pencil in others to be the guy that Quato's my guy, man. He's my fucking guy. He's gonna be something. I'm a fan. All right, so let's fast forward. Where are we now?
Yeah, so Sho and Yo, of course, picking up the win and winning the Super Junior Tag Tournament. But
surprised by that?
No, not at all, actually.
Yeah,
not.
You didn't think it was going to be ACH and Taguchi?
No, I did. I honestly did not think that there was any chance of that. And not only that, I didn't think that it made sense. I mean, you're putting so much into this Roppongi 3K team. You know, they come in on their debut and win the junior tag titles. I mean, in my mind, they pretty much had to win this tag tournament because what were we building up to? We're building up to a big match at the Dome against none other than the Young Bucks, who stroll down the aisle and issue the challenge. Although, you know what I was really hoping for?
What's that?
I was hoping for the Bucks to get on the mic and kind of tease that they were going to issue a challenge for the junior tag titles, but then say, you know what? We've done everything that there is to do in this junior tag division. Quite frankly, you guys are beneath us. We are using this opportunity to announce our entry into the World Tag League because, quite frankly, we're just on a different level. That is what I was hoping for in my heart. But looks like we're getting the Young Bucks for the fourth year in a row opening up Wrestle Kingdom in a junior tag match.
Yep. It does seem a bit, we've seen this before, Groundhog Day-ish, but this will be very good.
Oh, it's going to be a great match.
The problem is that these junior tag matches, while always great, in a cavernous Tokyo Dome, they don't always translate very well. Right?
No, it's a big barn.
It's a big fucking barn, is right. Again, they always seem to deliver in the ring action-wise, but it doesn't always translate to the audience at the Dome and at home. So fingers crossed. Now, the one thing that they do have in their favor is, there's going to be a shit ton of North Americans at this fucking show.
There are, and the Young Bucks certainly are popular with the North American audience, are they not?
Yeah, they are. So
a lot of merch here.
Yeah. That is a little bit of a concern to me.
Do you think could you imagine if a This Is Awesome chant breaks out,
right?
Or just some stupid North American bullshit that you hear.
Right. Oh. I know you're going to hear, well, I paid a ticket and I can share how I want. Well, okay, you're in another country too, knucklehead. Right? Can you be a little bit respectful? Right? Let's not, come on. You're not a fucking pro wrestling gorilla. You're in Tokyo.
Right.
Different fucking animal.
Put a suit on.
Right. Dress up. Shower. Do something. No, but seriously, I think everybody's going to be in their best behavior. I think I was worried about that a little bit at Long Beach, and it didn't turn out that way. Everybody was on their best behavior. So I'm hoping, again, just a little friendly reminder. That's all I'm saying is, listen, mind your P's and Q's, everyone. All right. So we have that to look forward to at the Tokyo Dome. That was really like one of the first solid things that we had, right, in the books when it came to this show building toward Wrestle Kingdom.
I think the writing was on the wall. Everybody knew that we were building towards Roppongi 3K and the Bucks at the Dome. I think that was evident, and here we are. We're getting it. I'm sure it'll be a fine, great opening match at the Dome, and it's going to be good.
I agree, 100%. Give them time. You can't give them too much time because we'll be there for 7 hours. But if they gave them a little bit of time, I mean, what are you going to give them, like 8 minutes?
You know what? I seem to remember their match, the Bucks against Roppongi Vice at this past year's Wrestle Kingdom. I think they gave that like a significant amount of time, like at least 10 minutes.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
That was a really good match, too.
Yeah, I agree.
There was storytelling in that.
There was a narrative.
There was.
Yes, let's give them a little bit more time. That would
15
be,
minutes, please.
Well, I mean, I don't think you can, but I mean, if you can get an ass hair over 10, I'd be thrilled. We'll see what happens there. But again, we're going to have a 7-hour show if we don't. All right, what do we got next?
All right, last match before the break. We've got Okada, Goto, Ishii, Yoshihashi, and Ghetto taking on all of Los Ingobernables de Japón. So obviously this is a sneak preview of Okada versus Naito, but Damon, you know what else I think it's a sneak preview of?
What do you got?
Your Never Trios match at the Dome.
Yeah.
I think that we're getting Goto, Ishii, and Yoshihashi versus Evil Sanada and Bushi. I really do.
Well, how do you feel about that?
If they keep it that match and don't do another gauntlet like they did this past year, which was just a total waste, in my
opinion.
That was
a shitstorm,
Just nonsense. If they keep it just a regular six-man tag, I think it could be really, really good. But I don't think they're going to do that.
You think they're going to go gauntlet again?
Listen,
or some kind of nonsense where they've got to squeeze in a bunch of people in the ring.
You've got a lot of people to get on this card. Unless you want to make this battle royal like a 40-man over-the-top rope fucking, you know, war games, whatever. Right. Bunkhouse Stampede.
Bunkhouse Stampede. That'd be great.
Yeah, unless you want to make it that. I think that they're going to try and shoehorn as many people into this trio's title picture as they can. Hope I'm wrong.
I hope you're wrong, too. But that's, I mean, that's you might be right about that one, pal. You might have nailed that one. Yeah, Evil, Sonata, Bushi, Goto, Ishii, and Yoshihashi.
Yeah, Chaos versus LIJ, never trios titles.
Yeah, I we'll see what happens with World Tag League, but you might want to pencil that one in. That sounds like a plan. Actually, it sounds like I'm going to be seeing that fucking match at the Tokyo Dome.
I think so, along with Chris Jericho and Switchblade.
Yeah,
and maybe Woo! Kiss will perform.
That'd be great to do Strutter. That'd be awesome. I love that.
Crazy
song.
Nights.
Oh, I don't want any nonsense. I want Strutter. What else? I want King of the Nighttime World. Then I'll be a happy
God
guy.
God
of Thunder is good. Firehouse is good. I like Firehouse. All right.
Yeah, so Okada picks up the win for his team. Rainmaker on Bushi, 1-2-3. Good stuff from Okada and Naito. I also really appreciate the fact that Kevin Kelly and Don Callis, they're the best commentary team in the business right now when it comes to doing their homework and connecting the dots. You know, just talking about how the position that Naito was in 2013 and how it just wasn't his time and how he had to have LIJ help him win that first IWGP heavyweight title. These are all important little factoids that they're using to tell the story here that I really appreciate. And I think that Okada versus Naito at the Dome is going to exceed your expectations, Damon.
Well, it's looking like it's the match that's got to fucking win me over. All right. That's the match that I have the biggest chance of walking away with some stars.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Kevin Kelly and Don Callis mentioning the Mexico excursion a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Stealing our fucking lines.
Well, hey, listen, Don Callis did just follow us the other day.
Did he?
I don't know if I told you that. Finally,
about time.
We are followed by both New Japan English commentators. So,
well, good. Listen, he can blow me off in Tokyo like he always does. That Mark, jerk. All right, what else we got?
Well, we had a little intermission, and during that, it was announced that New Japan Pro Wrestling returning to North America.
I don't have any fucking money, Colin.
Well, listen, they're coming back March 25th in Long Beach again, this time at the Walter Pyramid for a little show they're calling Strong Style Evolved. And I did a little research on this Walter Pyramid, and... Uh-huh. Doesn't really hold that much more than the venue they were at. The capacity's 4,200.
4,200 for what?
Okay, so
for basketball?
With additional seating, okay, there was actually a record attendance there of 6,912 back in November of 2012, I guess for some sort of North Carolina game, I don't know.
Okay, so little college hoops.
Yeah, yeah. So that was the record attendance, 6,009, so almost 7,000.
Okay, so you figure you got to have a basketball court in there. That takes up room, which would be filled with seats, right? So, I mean, you said the capacity is what, 4,200?
4,200.
5,000? Okay, that's, yeah, I mean, I would have thought they would have shot a little bit higher.
Hell, they were talking like they were going to book the Staples Center.
Fucking Rose Bowl.
Yeah.
They're like Depeche Mode 101. Good evening, Pasadena.
Look at all the people here tonight.
Yeah, and I did hear a little bit of East Coast. I still think that's on the table. Yeah, I did hear East Coast was happening, but like, what do I know? Let me ask you this, though.
Go ahead.
There was a lot of buzz for this first one, right? A lot of people, and I already had like many, I won't say many, I'm not going to go so far as to say many. I had a few people hit me up and specifically say, well, there's no way I'm fucking doing Long Beach, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a couple people say that. And again, for different reasons, birthdays, you know, family-ish thing, whatever the case may be. But So do you think New Japan's going to miss out on that newness, that new factor of people saying, oh my God, it's New Japan, first time, I'm traveling, I don't give a fuck where it is? Do you think that loses out? And then I'll follow that question up with this new audience, new eyeballs, and people that watched Long Beach at home and were, you know, they were excited by it. Do you think that would compensate for the people who are going to bail out this time? Colin, the floor is yours.
Yeah, I absolutely think that not only are you going to see a lot of the same faces that you saw at Long Beach earlier this year, next year you're going to see a lot of new faces too. I think it's a kind of a combination. I think that people I think they certainly had a good time at Long Beach by all accounts. I think that they're going to be itching to return, and I think a lot of people who were left out in the cold and didn't get tickets and weren't able to go for whatever reason are going to be flying in for this. I think that the reception is going to be stellar, just like it was the first time. I think tickets are going to go fast. I really see no difference from last year as far as like ticket sales go, except that they're going to sell even more.
Yeah, I think you're right, man. Yeah. I really do. Tickets will fast, and it's this, it's the same amount of tickets, basically, it feels like.
Yeah, basically. Maybe there'll be like a thousand or two more. I don't know.
Only one show, though.
Yeah, just one show, and I'll be curious to see if they're going to do a deal with Access TV again, or if this is just going to be exclusively on NJPW World, and... what's the card going to be like? Are we going to see like Tanahashi defending the IC title against Bastion Booger? Because I don't think anyone I don't think anyone wants to fly in for that. You know, we don't want to get Billy Gunned again. So
Terry Taylor will be coming out of retirement.
I think, look, here's your opportunity to do Omega Ibushi. They were talking about, you know, the reason that this United States IWGP United States Heavyweight title was created is so you could have a title that can headline these kind of events. There's your opportunity.
That'd be nice. I would dig that. But then again, Colin, you laid the boots to me when I sniffed at the idea of, well, they could do fucking Okada Omega again.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. And truth be told, they're probably not going to do Omega Ibushi here either.
All right, so that's that. So everyone's excited. Coming up in March, right? Oh, March.
Super early, man.
Yeah, New Japan returns to Long Beach, California. Rainmakers for everybody. Nope.
All righty, we arrive at what is going to be my least favorite part of this broadcast. I guess we've got to talk about this never open weight title match, this bull rope match, Suzuki defending against Yano. And I feel bad because I don't even really know what to say about it, just other than it was horrible. It was one star at best. It was sloppy. It was Damon, help me out here.
It was nonsense, man.
It was nonsense.
It was tie him up a thousand different ways to tie a rope around a human being.
The rules weren't even really clear.
No, Kevin Kelly had no idea. Kevin Kelly was like, well, we're not going to do the hit the four corners, right? And he goes, and then some, like, it was at least 10 minutes into the match. First of all, the match went entirely too long. Like, it was just like,
it went 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And it felt like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was micro, yeah, warming the dinner plate in the microwave time. I was like, come on, hurry up.
Oh, I would have went to the bathroom if I was there live.
Yeah, that would have been the beer break, bathroom break for you.
I would have watched Suzuki's entrance, and then I would have been out of there.
Yeah, there was nonsense too. There was like shenanigans, and Goto had to come out and make the save, and then Iizuka comes out doing his shit, standing at the ramp for that felt like 15 minutes in and itself, right? And he's just standing there with that crazy look on his face. Doing nothing, and then he finally interferes.
This match was almost like, it's like they painted a parody of everything that we hate in New Japan. It's like they just put that together in a blender, all of the shitty ingredients, you know? Smoke and mirrors, Suzuki Goon shenanigans, Yano nonsense, gimmicks, they all just put it in a ninja blender. And just blended it all together and gave it to us for breakfast, like it's going to sustain us for the morning.
Yeah. We had That's a shit milkshake.
Yeah.
Kevin Kelly was like, you know, they went for a pinfall, and Kevin Kelly goes, oh, I guess pinfalls count.
Yeah, I caught that.
I fucking laughed.
I don't know what the fuck's going on here. Nobody does, but right, here we go. Us.
Yeah, away we go. Oh. Yeah, this was not good.
This was torture.
There wasn't a cowbell to be found.
No. And did you see, like, at the beginning of the match, that the strap wasn't around Yano's wrist? And
right, he's bullshitting with the fucking flipping. Yeah,
Suzuki's yelling at the ref.
Yeah, it was everything that we fucking hate. It was not good.
But my question to you is, why? Why did we get this feud? What was the purpose of it exactly? Because the only thing I can think of in my mind is to give Suzuki a little break before the Dome. That's the only thing I can think of. Do you did you come up with anything else, Damon?
No.
Well, there you go.
I'm dead serious. What there's no excuse for this.
Who wanted this?
Suzuki? Probably. Right? I mean, look, if you're looking for a night off, you're working Yano.
There's other guys you can be in the ring with and still have a night off.
Get away with it and get away with that. Look, the shit that he got. The shit that he got for that Elgin match, that didn't go unnoticed. I mean, even when you got the fucking commentary team even saying, oh, the fucking response, to the, they knew it. Everybody fucking knew it. It was
I knew it. And you knew it too.
Yeah, but there's not many guys you can get in a ring, and that's, like, you know what you're getting with Yano. You're getting that. I mean, when Tanahashi was banged up, and they gave him that program where Tanahashi couldn't fucking find a win over Yano, that's to give him a fucking break.
That was at least, like, somewhat entertaining and interesting, though, I felt, the Tanahashi-Yano feud, because, like...
Go back and listen to the tapes. You hated it.
Yeah, probably.
You did. I
probably.
Hated it. It was nonsense, but again, that was we know what it was for.
How many stars would you give this match? I have a feeling you're going to be more generous than I am.
If honestly, a generous two.
A generous two.
A generous two.
Can I go 1¾?
Sure. Yeah. You're not even breaking the two threshold.
No, for me, no. This isn't breaking two.
Worst match of the year.
Yeah. Worst match on a big show. On a big show, worst match of the year for me.
Worse than Elgin Yano G1.
I'm talking about on one of the big like the main shows.
Okay. Well,
you know, your King of Pro Wrestling, Power Struggle, Dome, G1 Final.
All right.
I'm talking like the big five.
Okay, but that match did fuck over Elgin's chances to move on. There's a lot going on in that match that made that one horrible.
Oh, you can go back and listen to the rant. It's in the archives.
Yeah. All right. Worse than, I'm trying to think of like other, the only other match that might be as terrible would be that, Was it Taka Michinoku and Tai Chi where they didn't lock up for 10 minutes?
Yeah, but that was brilliant, though. That was brilliant in its awfulness. This was just awful. And the fact that what makes this worse is that this was an ongoing feud that we had to sit through.
Yeah. Where Yano steals the belt.
What the hell was our payoff here as an audience?
Like, I don't understand that stealing the belt, too. Like, so... Okay, so let's just say that Yano takes the belt and he gets to the back. There's nobody back there being like, you're going to have to give the belt up. Right?
Yeah, not only that, like, you know, what about the Japanese authorities? I mean, they don't take any nonsense.
Yeah, they certainly don't. No jurisdiction over New Japan, I guess. No. And even if you're Suzuki, you're like, I don't give a fuck. I'm the champion. I don't give a shit what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, just the whole thing was just... It's done.
I guess the payoff was that big gotch pile driver at the end, which was quite beautiful to see. Suzuki retaining the title.
I will say this too.
Go ahead.
Another strike against. No blood.
No blood at all.
No blood. I don't know. I just think in a gimmick match like that. I know this is a different time and a different era.
You sound like a Kennedy.
I did. But it's, I don't know, man. I mean, do you go for color? Can you do that in this day and age? I don't know.
The last time Yano got color was in a match with Tenzan from the 2015 G1. That was insane.
Yeah, that was hard way. That was tough. Yeah, that was crazy. All right. Well, yeah, I guess we're past that. This is not 1982 in fucking the Omni. Tommy Rich fucking slicing his head open. All right, I think we've evolved as human beings past that point. All right, so that's that. You made it through, Colin. I'm proud of you.
I got through it. I got to see the Gotch Pile Driver and got to see Suzuki, you know.
So there's nothing on tap for Suzuki for this NEVER title, right? There's nothing that's definitive at this point as a challenger, right?
That's what I was just going to say. Like, nobody came out to challenge him afterwards. The only person, and I think I mentioned this last week, that I have in the crevices of my mind who could go after this title is, at this point, Ibushi. Because that guy's got nothing to do with the Dome now either.
Yeah. Ibushi might be. Hey, I'm going through the roster here of people who are going to be occupied.
Elgin, you think, is going to be busy, so we're not going to see him challenge. Kushida's not going to challenge.
No, he's in the mix with that schmaz.
Yeah, he's in the four-way schmaz that
we haven't talked about, but we will.
And people will forget about it, but.
Obviously, Tanahashi's busy. Omega's busy. Okada's busy. What's Zach doing? Well, Zach is in fucking Suzuki.
Zach's in Suzuki Gun, although that's a match that a lot of people would like to see. Ibushi's the only guy right now who isn't occupied that could challenge for this title.
Makabe.
Oh God. Oh my God. Are we going to see Suzuki versus Makabe for the NEVER title? Are we going to see that? Tell me we're going to see that.
I mean,
because that's what I feel now.
That's what I feel too.
That's what I feel. Makabe. Oh my God.
All right.
What a bizarro world we live in. What a bizarro Wrestle Kingdom this is going to be.
You're telling me.
What the hell is going on?
I don't know. It is bizarro, man. It is bizarro. So again, it could be Ibushi. I mean, listen, it could be. I mean, how many times have we been disappointed with the Ibushi booking, though?
Seems like, God, Damon, going back to late 2015 when he had that match against Makabe at Destruction. You can go back and listen to me rant about how stupid that was, that Ibushi couldn't win the NEVER title from Makabe.
We are constant, for all the praise that we give New Japan when it comes to the higher level main events.
Best wrestling in the world.
Best wrestling in the world. Well, man, they find new and creative ways of fucking us over with Ibushi.
They really do.
That's their favorite thing to do, is to fuck us over with Ibushi.
Yeah, they dangle the carrot in front of your face, you know.
What a dick tease.
They dangle the Omega carrot and then yoink.
Unbelievable. Yes. It really is. That Ibushi is our carrot we get it yanked away from us constantly. And every little interaction with anybody that's halfway remotely interesting, we're like, oh, they're building to a Wrestle Kingdom. they talk to each other.
There was a glance.
There was
a,
they looked at each other. I mean, how long have we been doing the fucking glance?
Ibushi liked something he tweeted.
right. He liked something on Facebook. That's exactly what we've become. We've been hanging on the...
Do you ever think that this is like... what Ibushi wants, though, because he's such a free spirit, aka a weirdo. He might put himself in these situations. Like he might want to be in the most outlandish scenario possible.
Is he wrestling a crab at Wrestle Kingdom?
You know what? I hope he does.
Yeah,
I would pay good money to see that.
Really?
Yeah. Kota Ibushi versus a giant crab.
You're into that, huh?
I'm kind of more into that than the Omega match.
Man, we fucking just want this so bad.
Oh. Well, Listen, we're going to talk about Ibushi in a little bit here. Two more matches to get through before we get to the main event. Next up, junior heavyweight title, Ospreay defending against Marty Scurll in a very surprising match, to say the least. Of course, Ospreay and Scurll, no strangers, great dance partner. Arguably, Ospreay's best dance partner is Marty Scurll. This is probably their match number 1001.
Right.
And while I thought it was very good, there was something about it that left a little to be desired. And the finish just came out of nowhere, man, didn't it?
Well, yeah, with the roll-ups and the skin the cat spots.
It just came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I did like the one exchange that they had where they kind of – you could kind of see them – thinking, and again, I'm putting words in their mouth and thoughts in their head, but it felt to me as if this was occurring in the sense of they were doing a lot of their, you know, signature spots.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like the crowd was connecting with it. Now, again, no. That might be the old, you know, two English blokes, you know, in a Japanese ring, right? Where there is that age old complaint that, you know, the Japanese audience has trouble connecting with that, right? They put two non-Japanese people in the ring. So they went through and did their old thing, but then the tide turned when they started slapping the fucking shit out of each other, right?
Yeah.
Right. So that's kind of like where and you felt the crowd kind of whoop get back in and reconnect with them and get energized by that.
Were you doing a Marty Scurll there? Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop. That is a great entrance. I'm not going to lie. That is one of the best entrances in pro wrestling right now. It's creative. It's cool. I definitely dig from the opening chords to the minute he takes off that mask in the ring. That is badass. I like the match a lot, Colin. I thought that I was surprised with the finish. That kind of took me back a little bit, and it kind of, and it did continue that. Here's that word again, Colin. That narrative.
Ah, the narrative.
The narrative of
Ospreay Scurll not being that good.
Well, I mean, it does seem like that he. I don't know. He just doesn't seem like a major player in New Japan.
Ospreay might be the junior heavyweight Goto. can never win the big one.
I mean, like, he won.
And then when he does win the big one, he loses it.
Yeah, real quick. Very quickly. But it also continued that narrative of Scurll just having his number.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, that's right. Know. Good point. Good point.
Get the win.
And again, I thought it was a great match, too. One of my favorite spots, personally, and this just shows you the level of creativity that both of these guys have when Ospreay went for a top rope moonsault. Scurll rolled out of the way. Ospreay then did a standing moonsault over him and then did a shooting star press.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
He is one of the most creative guys. And I'm talking about Ospreay.
Yeah.
Just creative. And there's one thing where you're thinking of, okay, I want to do this in the ring, and to be able to physically pull it off are two completely fucking different things. And then, okay, being able to pull it off and being able to pull it off gracefully is a completely other different thing too. So yeah, he's got that down. What are your feelings on Marty Scurll being your IWGP Heavyweight Champion and looking like he'll go into that defending at the Dome?
You know, my initial reaction was that of shock and surprise, but then I was quickly reminded, you know, Marty Scurll is a Bullet Club guy. He is a Bullet Club guy. He's one of the one of the biggest North American Bullet Club guys. You know, you always see him at Ring of Honor, at the Ring of Honor shows.
Well, you see Ospreay in there.
That's true.
Is it just Bullet Club that's helping making that happen?
Bullet Club kind of is Ring of Honor right now.
I just literally had the. Like my drink come out of my nose right now.
Well, you know, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. So yeah, I mean, I was very surprised that he won. Probably the biggest surprise of the night for me, actually, since I was clued in to what was coming later a little bit.
Mackie texture.
No, it was that photo of the poster that my brother texted me. I couldn't get it out of my mind. I was thinking, oh boy, is this real? Is this a fan made poster? What is this? But anywho, yeah, I thought it was a great match. Very surprised that Marty Scurll won. So afterwards, of course, Kushida comes down, issues the challenge to Scurll, kind of tells Ospreay to piss off. Ospreay tries to interject himself into the mix as well. And then who comes down to the ring but our good friend, our good buddy, good old Hiromu Takahashi comes strolling down. And this time he's prepared, though. He's prepared. Yes. This time he's got the protective helmet. He's got the gloves. So no one's punching him in the face. No one's breaking his fingers. He can issue the challenge this time. And he does. And Scurll ends up saying, hey, you know what? Why don't I just defend this belt against all of you in a fatal four-way match, which I believe will be a first for New Japan. I mean, I know they've had triple threat matches before.
I would have to look it up. I'm going to say right now that, yes, that is the case, at least for the junior title.
Yeah, for the junior title. And, you know, of course they had that match with Devitt at the Dome. It was a triple threat, but I don't believe they've done a four-way match before. Listen, I have a lot of thoughts on this match. I want to get your I kind of want to get a feel for how you what your reaction is to the fact that it's going to be a fatal four-way now at the Dome for the junior title.
Well, I mean, listen, I was complaining a little bit in the sense that, you know, we had the possibility of it being a three-way.
Yeah.
Right? I really didn't think we would have a Marty Scurll in the mix.
Nope, me neither.
I thought we would have Kushida, of course. I thought we would have Takahashi, of course. And I thought we would have Ospreay, of course. Yeah. I don't...
It feels like the junior heavyweight title is getting
the
junior,
never treatment.
Not the never treatment, but the junior tag treatment. The way they've treated it at the Dome for a long time, you know, with the triple threat matches and the four way matches and et cetera and so forth.
Well, I will say in the past couple of years they've kept it to singles matches, which is what everybody really prefers. To be truthful,
junior tag title.
Well, the junior tag titles before used to be, you know, those multi-man tags,
right?
Or you know, different teams, fatal four, whatever. Fuck you, you know what I mean.
That's what I'm getting at.
Right, I see it. I see your point now. Right. This is a perfect example of getting as many people on the show as we possibly can. Will the match be good? Look, the talent in the ring. Yes, of course it will be.
Yeah, look who you've got. Kushida, Ospreay, Scurll, Hiromu.
But here's what I fear. That this match is going to be one of those, okay, all four in the ring. All right, two guys take a powder outside the ring.
Yep.
Two guys hit spots. They would dive. Boom, now the other two are in the ring. It like those matches, you know, these four-way matches just have that formula of that type of I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little disappointed.
I'm a little disappointed too. I was honestly hoping for a singles match between Ospreay and Takahashi, and of course you know what I was hoping for with Kushida, but I don't think, well, I don't want to say never, no pun intended, but I don't think that that's in Kushida's immediate future.
Wouldn't it be awesome? And let's just say, like, Takahashi wins the junior belt, all right?
Okay.
And you know how the next night Dash is always that crazy fucking night of surprises and just a mixed bag of fun and...
John Cena is going to come out at the New Year's Dash.
Maybe, Colin, that would be a real nice spot if Suzuki gets out of the Dome with the title. That's a real nice spot where Kushida could do that, right?
Right.
On that show, that would be really fucking kind of
so
cool.
So you're saying that Suzuki defeats Ibushi then? That's what you're killing our Ibushi dream again.
Listen,
before
Ibushi
it even started.
It breaks my heart all the time. I'm not falling for it again. I'm not going to be another victim.
Fool
of
me
love.
Once, shame yep. on you. Fool
exactly.
me twice, shame on me.
He's hard.
Three times.
Heart. Yep. Uh-uh. I'm a fucking jerk off. If that's what that's the saying. Yeah. No. No. I don't think even if no. No. Kota Ibushi's not winning dick all in New Japan. How about that? I'm going to go out and say it. I'm tired of being dicked around by New Japan and Ibushi. No, he's not winning anything. I'm not falling for it. Anyway, yeah, Colin, I think it's going to be just one of those. An opportunity has slipped through their fingertips, for me, has slipped through their fingertips by having a four-way. I just think it's going to be a big mess that nobody's going to remember.
That is exactly the way I feel.
You know, and I'm not saying that, you know, all these junior matches at the Dome are memorable, although maybe for the wrong reasons. I mean, we remember Omega and fucking Taguchi.
Yeah.
But, you know, and even Omega and Kushida, I mean, mm-hmm. I wouldn't necessarily say that was super memorable.
No.
So, I don't know, maybe it's the car crash that we didn't know we wanted.
Watch this end up being like a 5-star, just crazy, amazing match. But well,
they have the people, they have the talent in the ring. I just think it's too much. I can't imagine them giving them a super amount of time.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much time do you think they're going to give them? 15 minutes, maybe?
I don't
know. Not even? 10?
I would say definitely under 15.
So I guess this isn't going to be a fatal four-way elimination match then, huh?
No, probably one fall.
One fall, okay.
I hope so, because if it's multiple falls, oh, it's going to be a mess. You know what I mean? I hate those never work out well. I mean, you got to have a pinfall in like the first 3 minutes. Now. Ugh.
I'm going to say that the junior tag match at the Dome will end up being more memorable than the heavyweight title match, junior heavyweight title match.
I think the biggest thing that they have is time and being able to do what they want to do and the amount of time that they're allotted. Four people in that ring, man. It's a lot. And again, and then it gets a bit formulaic. Selma Hayek.
Hey, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, of course. Again, it's that old, you know, two guys take a powder outside the ring. These two guys work as one. But we all know the deal. All right, so we're not too thrilled about this, Colin, are we?
No, can't say that I am. I'm not gonna lie and pretend that I'm super psyched for a four way. I think it kind of demeans the title a little bit. But listen, this is the road that we're headed down. We're on the road to the Tokyo Dome. That's the match. What else can we say? What else can we say?
A lot of shoulder shrugging. All right.
I will tell you this, though. I do have a lot to say about this next match for the IWGP United States Heavyweight title, a match that kind of came out of nowhere that was booked very quickly. Omega defending against Beretta.
Go ahead, Colin. I'll give you the floor.
Beretta, I'll tell you what. We've got to talk about how good this guy is. This might be his standout, his shining moment in New Japan Pro Wrestling. I mean, we've seen him have plenty of good matches in the Super Junior Tag Tournament. We've certainly seen him have plenty of good matches this year with Rocky Romero as part of Roppongi Vice. I mean, their matches against the Young Bucks really stand out. But Beretta, we've been one of the first groups kind of championing him to enter the heavyweight division for quite some time now. And what a perfect opponent, really. Kenny Omega, a guy that's really going to bring out the best in Beretta, and I really think he did. I'd give this match 4.5 stars.
I'm in the fours. I'm a little surprised they went to this hand this quickly.
Yeah, you know? It was very quick. And I mean, this evolved over the Road 2 shows.
Right. That's surprising to me that they would go to Beretta this quickly. And I don't know exactly how I feel about that, because now what do we do with Beretta? Right. Again, it's that New Japan problem of we have so much talent, we just don't have enough spot.
You see, I had an idea, but they screwed me again.
What's wrong? What do you want to do now?
If you would have had this Kushida versus Suzuki match for the NEVER title, and you could have had Kushida versus Beretta for the NEVER title, it would have been great.
Yeah. That would have been nice.
Would have been great. But where's Beretta now? You know, he blew it against Omega. Great match. But, you know, again, where do you put him?
Right.
Where do you put him on the dome?
Battle Royal.
Battle Royal or...
you know, he... No.
Trio Gauntlet.
No, Brian Alvarez. Why don't we do this? We know we got a Ring of Honor title defense on this show, right?
Allegedly. I mean, I'm assuming.
Okay. Would you mind a little Trent? A little Trent going against, is it Jay Lethal?
Jay Lethal?
I mean, not Jay. I'm
Cody. Is Jay Lethal still the champion? That'd be great.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? Oh, that'd be so great.
But no, it's Cody. Uh-huh. He's Ring of Honor world champion. Yeah, that is a potential spot to stick him in on the dome. I mean, you know he's going to lose, but...
Well, let me ask you this. I mean, so there was scuttlebutt that he was losing that title, right? Doesn't Ring of Honor have a big show coming up right around the corner? Dalton Castle winning the title?
Yes, they do. Their big blow-off show of the year.
That's before the dome, right?
In December, yes. Final battle.
You think Dalton Castle walks away with a title?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Again, maybe I don't watch enough Ring of Honor to get a good feel for the booking, but I don't know. I just don't see that.
Okay. You don't see? Do you see Cody and Trent? You think that's a spot? I mean, that would be back-to-back title losses, though.
Yeah, I mean, he loses to Omega, loses to Cody, to Bullet Club guys.
Battle Royal, man.
Battle Royal with him winning. How about that?
Huh?
How about that? Yeah. Beretta wins the Battle Royal.
What does Juice do?
Oh, what does Juice do? That's a good question.
Is he Battle Royal?
How about we pull a Bret Hart, Lex Luger? They both go over the top. Jack Tunney comes out and declares them co-winners.
Oh,
let's do that.
We don't have enough fucking room for everybody. This is a shame of it. This is really a shame.
94 Rumble this shit.
Oh boy. I like this match a lot, actually. Again, I just thought it was weird that we were going to this so quickly. It does kind of kill off any momentum Trent has. I mean, he had a good showing and I don't know what you do with him now though. He gets lost in the mix right now. Like right now, he's lost in the mix.
Yeah, just as soon as he broke out as a heavyweight and had an opportunity, now he's lost in the mix. I mean, I guess that's a testament to how bloated the New Japan roster is currently.
It is. I mean,
you know, all joking aside, they realistically could have like two touring New Japan factions. You know that.
I mean, talent wise, they could. I mean, that would totally fucking kill their business.
Yeah,
it really would. It would. I mean, they can't fucking do that, Colin. No way. I say no way. How many times have I said no way? But they're not doing.
There's no way Chris Jericho's showing up. There's no way Daniel Bryan's showing up.
I tell you what, Colin, you were the first person, and I remember it like it was yesterday. And I was like, "There's no fucking way." You're like, he's going to hit the music." Remember that hasn't been more closer to the truth than it has ever had. That's going to come true.
Yeah,
that's really going to come true for
listen,
you.
Listen, we talked about this for the first 40 minutes of this podcast, but of course after the match, Omega lays out the challenge. You know, waits a few seconds, nobody accepts. He's gonna do the goodbye and goodnight gimmick. Then the lights go out and the countdown starts. And at first, I thought to myself, wait a minute, that hair looks kind of like Jay White.
Right?
Didn't you feel like that? Like when they showed him in the shadows, I'm like, is that Jay White's hair?
I did think that, yes.
I was like, huh, are they having Jay White chat? But no, sure enough, there it is. Chris Jericho has a picture of Omega in his hand. Name drops CM Punk, name drops Edge, all these people who thought that they were the best in the world. And laid out the challenge at the Tokyo Dome. Jericho, Omega, the Alpha versus the Omega is what they're billing this as.
Unbelievable. I still can't believe it. I'm still sitting here recording the show at 8 o'clock in the evening, I can't believe that we're actually getting this.
I'm looking at a picture of it right now. I'm looking at Jericho's face on the Tron, holding up a picture of Omega. And all of this started over Twitter. Think about that.
Well, I mean, I think that they had talked beforehand
of doing
something like this. But yeah, the wrestling beef was,
That was how people knew about it.
Yeah, taking shots at each other on Twitter.
And again, I haven't done enough research to know how long they were, you know, how long Jericho was talking to New Japan. I don't know anything, because all I did today was watch this show and then hop on with you.
Yeah, but I mean, he was just in WWA.
Yeah,
it wasn't like it was, you know, 2 years on the shelf. He just left.
Do you think that this is going to, change his relationship with them now?
I would think.
Unless this is some sort of secret reconnaissance mission where he's going to try and draft Omega and say, like, hey.
He's like, look, Paul, I'm going to go here and I'll tell you who to pick up. I'll tell you who to sign. Yeah. And then the day after fucking the Dome, I'm tweeting you, everybody's leaving.
Yep.
Signed Okada. Okada's leaving.
The only one that's staying is Makabe.
And a bag of sweets.
Yeah.
The promotion's done. It was an inside job.
Shit.
I mean, you would think that this can't sit too favorably, could it? I mean, especially with the...
Do you think the old man knows by now? Like, how does he get his news about this stuff? Like,
probably a fucking newsletter they type up for him.
New Japan.
I wasn't a fan of the old one.
What the hell is this?
Is Anoki back?
Oh, Lord. Where's Baba?
Where's Baba? What? He's dead.
Yeah, no, seriously, though. Like, how does he get this information? Like, does he have any inkling beforehand?
Get Sakaguchi on the phone. On the forum.
Like, I just picture...
On the blower.
like we portray him as this, like, caricature, but that's how he is, though.
I mean,
it's kind of not that far away from reality. So, like, I'm really curious about that whole relationship. What's going on there? That's kind
of... And it's the whole, you know, they're not in the best of terms with the guys that they're working with.
Yeah.
Right? You know, there's legal teams involved and ceases and desists being filed.
It's funny that Kevin Kelly and Don Callis mentioned how, like, in a sense, they sold for the Young Bucks.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, sure. And they called them marks.
They love throwing around the marks. It's what a world we live in, Colin. We said it a trillion times this show. What a fucking world we live in. Who would have thunk that we'd be sitting here? I mean, just last week. If you told me last week that we'd be doing this, I'd be like, maybe 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, if you said this, I'd be like, you're out of your fucking skull. No fucking way this is happening. This is a reality.
This is a reality. And I saw the greatest tweet afterwards when I was scrolling through. I guess this was before the show. Somebody tweeted in all caps, Donald Trump is in Japan right now. Switchblade is Donald Trump.
That's a good point. That is a valid point. He is over there. Maybe he's getting his Dash tickets.
Maybe. Could you imagine if you sit down?
Oh, my God. Would my head explode or what? That would be... I honestly don't know how life could just get any crazier if that were to occur. Oh,
Secret Service is around you.
Oh yeah, they definitely would be, wouldn't they? All right. Well, that's that. It's good for business. It's fantastic buzz. It's definitely a positive. I do have my concerns for match quality because, again, that's what I'm going for. But hey, look, we shall see. We shall see.
One more match before we go home here, Damon. I know you want to go home and eat.
I am a star.
IWGP Intercontinental title, Tanahashi defending against Kota Ibushi, who we always have such high hopes for, but they always get dashed. I thought that this was maybe their best match, even despite the two little bumps in the road, like two little sloppy things that happened with the Hurricane Rana from the top rope, and then I think Ibushi tried to go for a Phoenix Plex or something, and Tanahashi just wouldn't go up. Did you catch that?
I remember the like when they were doing his signature suplex spot. You know how he kind of balances himself on the second rope. Outside, here we go. He's going to bring him back in the ring with the suplex spot. He's been doing it. You know, that's a nice little callback spot that he does. I kind of got the feeling that Tanahashi was kind of like, nah, I ain't fucking doing that.
Yeah, right? Are you out of your mind?
Yeah. Have you seen this fucking arm? I ain't doing that nonsense. I love the match.
I thought it was very raw.
Yeah. Oh, there were some exchanges, Colin. There's some slap in the face exchanges that, I was tasting pennies. That's a blood reference in the mouth, because they taste like pennies.
I wouldn't know.
You never had your mouth bleed?
No, sure. I'm just.
You know, you had to have that coppery, irony taste, or you never had pennies in your mouth. What do you mean? You never ate pennies? Colin?
I never ate pennies. Is what I'm trying to say.
I've had a penny in my mouth in my day. No, I like that. I thought that was
the palm strikes.
That was really. I think this match, and I think it's safe to say, Colin, that we have officially ended any speculation or any other consideration for match of the year. Like so, let me ask you this: of 20 matches of New Japan Pro Wrestling this year, and again, we're going to try to limit it to 20, right?
I thought we were saying 30.
Oh, really? All right. Well, let me ask you this. Does it make the 30?
I think that I personally like this one better than their G1 match from this year. I say yes.
Okay, so it makes the cut.
I think this was a better match. I thought it was raw. It had passion. It had fighting spirit. It had high spots. It kind of had a little bit of everything for everyone. So, yeah, I say yes.
Okay. I would say yes as well. Now, let's say that we cut the number to 20.
Okay.
Does it still make the cut?
I'm not so sure. If we cut the number to 20, I'm really not so sure. Because, again, I mean, this was such a bizarre year. This year was unlike any other year in history as far as match quality. And so I'm not so sure.
I would have to look at the 20. I would have to look at the 20. And if it does get in, it just gets in by ass hair.
Yeah.
Right? I think it gets in by an ass hair.
Think about how many G1 matches could be on that list.
That's going to be the hardest thing we have to do this year.
Like 10, probably.
It's going to be about, again, we have to have a conversation.
Oh, because, we do.
Yeah, because I think next weekend we're going to officially start the voting season.
That's the plan.
That is the plan. So Stan. We have to have a little production meeting.
Little rendezvous.
And we'll figure out how this is all going to work out. But, yeah, look for that next week. Very, 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 very good shot of us opening up the window and voting season beginning. So, okay. I like this match a lot. Stars?
I'm going 4.5.
I also am going 4.5.
I see. You were hesitant to give it the 4.75.
I think I'm comfortable with 4.5.
There you have it, folks. I think that is today's PuroCast. A long, girthy PuroCast for everyone, going over the 2-hour mark this week. So that is our Power Struggle in Osaka review. I mean, I'm still kind of speechless, but. This is the reality that we live in. We are on the road to Wrestle Kingdom 12, and it's certainly going to be an interesting one, to say the least.
I agree. Listen, I want to make sure that we can get this show uploaded, so I'm going to keep my final thoughts short and sweet. Again, don't forget about Takayama Mania. We do have that giveaway. We're doing a donation is what we're doing. So,
is there a giveaway?
I ain't giving away shit.
Okay.
You're giving stuff away. And the stuff you're giving away is a dollar or two. We're going to help out Takayama, who, again, of course, is in a bad way. We're bringing over a boatload of cash. Colin, I do have good news, by the way.
Yes.
Remember I told you about our goal of being $1,000 and bringing over $1,000 and handing it over and being proud of ourselves as good human beings. Remember that, Colin?
I remember.
Broke it. We have a new goal. We blew $1,000 out of the fucking water by Wednesday morning.
Excellent.
Yes, that's an outstanding job by every one of the people who have donated so far. Outstanding. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. We have more to go. We have a new goal. Let's do 2,000. We're almost there. So let's, again, dig deep. If you haven't donated, please. It's beerman37 at AOL.com. PayPal. The reason why we're doing PayPal is because we want every penny to go to the fund, right? We don't want to do any GoFundMes or all that because, again, they take a piece of the of the earnings away. We don't want that. We want to give every penny we can to the fund and hand it over, put it in a bucket and make everyone smile. So again, please PayPal beerman37 at AOL.com. It's a good cause. You'll feel good about yourself. He's a great pro wrestler and all the joy that he's given you. Again, it's worth at least a dollar or two. So again, thank you for everyone who has donated so far. We've destroyed our first goal. Let's reach our second goal. And make this a very positive and special Wrestle Kingdom moment for us all. All right, Colin, wrap it up.
NewJapanPuroCast.com, your one-stop shop for all things Purocast. Listen to the episodes directly on there as they're uploaded. iTunes, Stitcher, Facebook, Twitter, and of course, VoicesOfWrestling.com. We're up there every Monday afternoon, so listen to us any way you can, folks. We thank you very much. For tuning in each and every week, interacting with us on the Twitter, on the Facebook, and we're going to be back here next week to talk more about everything going on in the world, the crazy, crazy world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. So on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name's Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys right here next week on the New Japan Purocast. Later.